The best time to start was probably in 2020 or 2021. The next best time to start is today, is yesterday, is tomorrow, is as soon as possible. Like, go and record and hit post and just start.
Welcome to the Earfluence Podcast, where we amplify your expertise if you're a business or personal brand. I'm your host, Jason Gillikin, CEO of Earfluence, and with me today is Sam Linger. She is a social media specialist, TikTok influencer, and I'm so excited to talk about social media and TikTok in particular. Welcome, Sam.
Thank you.
Well, I've learned a little bit about you, and I want the audience to know. Tell us about Sam and your business and what you do as a social media consultant.
Yeah, so I have been in social media for over 6 years now, have been in product as well, and have really enjoyed watching how platforms and how people interact and grow communities on platform have changed over the years. I know you mentioned TikTok, so fell back in love with social media a few years ago when TikTok really started to take off, and have built Saturday Media because of that gap. TikTok has done some crazy things in the world of marketing, but one of them is forced brands to use short form video and really build personalities and communities online.
It's so true. I mean, and then Instagram had to follow suit. And then YouTube also had to follow suit because of what TikTok did. Yeah.
As soon as TikTok really started taking off, I think the world of marketers were new short form video at least was here to stay. Yeah. Whether or not TikTok as a platform was, the method of that marketing was.
Yeah. Sure. So you're a social media consultant for startups in particular.
Yeah.
What does that mean exactly? Like, what do you do? It's all about strategy or?
Yeah. So I help startups build communities through content online. I call Saturday Media a content marketing agency first, so it's all organic. I really believe that for longevity and in the early stages of building a startup, building an organic community on social media is one of the best tools and things you can do for your business, because you can help leverage it to do things like product launches, but also get product feedback and use your audience as advocates and kind of move them through that pipeline a lot quicker than we used to be able to do.
Yeah.
So I help them show up on social media, also in other ways. A lot of it's TikTok, because that's what has the best ROI right now on organic and paid. But really across social media and just across any way they're interacting with their consumers, I help them do that more strategically and really build a brand voice and personality behind what they're doing.
That's awesome. So what does an agreement look like with, not an agreement, but what does an engagement look like with you? Is it you looking at, okay, what is the business doing right now on social media and how could they be doing it differently? Is it building something from scratch? Is it you actually doing the social media work? Is it building their team? Like, how does that all work?
Yeah. So I don't call myself an agency because it's not all like done for you management, right? It's really about, I've focused in on who I want to help and who I am helping, because I think there's such a big opportunity with service-based businesses and startups, because they're the ones who can't usually like rely on their products and product photography and product-focused media. But beyond that, I've done a couple different things. An engagement with me, it could look like you're coming to me, you don't have a TikTok account, you've been doing Instagram for a little bit, you're posting photos, you've tried one or two reels, nothing's really working, you're frustrated, you don't want to learn it yourself as a business owner or founder, so you need someone that can just take that off your hands, that can drive the customer adoption, it can drive sales. So I do manage social media, but then I also have people who are solopreneurs, are still running most of the business themselves, and they just need help. They need guidance. And so it's them still showing up in that social media every day, but it's with the help of someone who has the industry expertise and knows what's going on, so that you don't have to sit there and like scroll through TikTok and find the trends every single week. You don't have to sit there and like figure out what the algorithm is doing. Like running a business, it's hard enough as it is.
Yeah.
Like keeping up with marketing is a full-time job as it is and should be. So I take that work off and work with different founders on strategy and just how to like systemize their content processes.
Okay. So what are business owners doing wrong right now in terms of social media?
Yeah, I think that business owners aren't focused enough on the community and value add aspect. So I think it's really tempting in marketing to get online and show off your product, show off the features. You're proud of it. You've built it, whether it's a software or it's a physical product. But especially with service-based or tech startups, I think it's really important to focus in on the problem to build your community. So what's the reason behind why you built this, right? Like, I think a little, that's easy to sort of glaze over because sometimes when you're building a product, that was like 3 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
But that's where this started. That's where the passion came from. And I think honing in on that story isn't done enough.
Yeah.
For business owners in that space. And then in general, I think that it's really easy to make content all about you. So especially when you're the one showing up on social media, what you want to talk about, which is valid, like what you think they want to know.
Yeah.
But I think paying attention to questions people are asking, if you're new to the space and online, maybe they're not asking it in your comment section, but they're going to be asking it in someone else's comment section. Yeah. And figuring out who your audience you're talking to, what do they actually need to know, right? Like, what are the questions they have? If you're talking to someone, maybe you're a coach, you're talking to someone who is where you were 3 years ago, I think it's really important to go back and think about, like, what do you wish you would have known? Like, what questions could I answer online right now that would have helped me 3 years ago?
That's so smart. And so you're looking at what the audience wants rather than what you think they want, right?
Yeah.
So it's all about who your audience is and making sure that you're talking specifically to them and telling your story. That's great. Can you give us some examples of what you've done and, you know, some success stories?
Yeah, for sure. Last year, was working on a like mental health wellness tech company. They had a hardware product and then a software product. And they hadn't really invested into Reels, TikToks, anything. They had built a 28,000 person audience on Instagram, so pretty good. Engagement was really low though, because Instagram isn't prioritizing photos. So they weren't actually like getting any ROI on this audience they had built. And so I came in and pretty much only did Reels because there was no need to do anything in static with the type of content we were making. Instead of just posting about maybe product updates or new releases and sales, we went back and it's like, okay, what is this audience, right? These are people who are new to meditation. They're new to self-help, or maybe they're not, but what do they like, what value can we add that would make someone follow us that would then make them trust us, enough to purchase from us?
Right.
So it was a lot of actually producing content that felt like you're almost a media company, right? Like you're producing wellness tips, you're producing health tips. You're talking about your journey with meditation.
Yeah.
But that's what people could identify with and we could build a community around. So then we built that to, I think when I ended that engagement, we were at about 52,000 followers. So like a good jump, but more importantly, there was actually people engaged. Sales were actually happening from that.
Yeah.
People were able to, they released a new version of their software application. We were able to get beta users directly just from social media. They did a lot of events and it would be really cool. We would get a lot of feedback that people would come up and be like, where's the social media girl? That's like in all the Reels. And that when we had a team in place that I got to help train, that actually produced the content. And then I was able to do just the strategy and advisory side. So engagements can look different, right? Like when I do engagements with people, sometimes I'm in content, but sometimes I'm not. It's this really weird landscape of navigating having a personality as a brand on TikTok. But I think the ability to find and coach other people to be in content is something I really enjoy as well. And so when you go to an agency or a person, a consultancy, I call myself a marketing studio. I don't like typical agencies. But when you go to get help with these things, I think it's really important for them to be able to find a personality for your brand. It's not always going to be that person and be able to train them to deliver that content.
Okay. So I'm, you know, in my 40s, and with TikTok, it's not really something that I get on at all. And I have a team that's younger, but at the same time, with me as the leader, it's tough to emphasize something that I don't know very well or I don't engage with hardly at all. So any tips that you have for people who aren't really on TikTok or some social media platforms on how to even get started and have a better understanding of what it is?
Yeah, that's a great point. I think there's, you know, from statistics, right? Like, okay, we need to invest in TikTok.
Yeah.
I know we've had conversations of, okay, I know this platform is growing. I think that for those people, seeing the data is really important, right? Like there's tons of like the HubSpot marketing report, the Klaviyo marketing report emphasizes TikTok on paid and organic ads and growing and that ROI within marketing. So you know it's not just anecdotal. But two, I think if you're trying to get started and just starting somewhere, there's two things I would really emphasize. One is finding people on TikTok who are creating the type of content you want to create. So like I would look up like podcast or like how to do a podcast and look up what other people content, if that's the content you want to create, are doing. Or if you're a business owner, you're a real estate agent, like you can just look up what other people are doing that kind of look and sound maybe more like you. And like, how are these people showing up? Because you're not going to do the same content as like, I don't know, an 18-year-old new grad, right? With this new personal branding on TikTok. I also think there's a lot of creators on things like LinkedIn that are talking about TikTok. So you could go and find resources for people who are creating on platforms that you already are on and engage with. And since they're on something like LinkedIn, they're going to communicate it in a different way that's maybe better for someone like you. It's like I get a lot of information about TikTok on TikTok, but I think that there's people creating it across platforms, across YouTube, across LinkedIn, across Instagram.
Yeah, no, that's really smart. What are some of the mistakes that you see people making when they're first starting out on TikTok?
Yeah, I think that people are posting 10 videos and then getting discouraged. They're like quitting too soon. And if you're dedicated to being the person on TikTok, right? Like let's say it's a personal branding mission, right? Like you don't need to grow your company. You just want to grow a presence. Maybe you already have a following on other platforms. I think you're starting to post on TikTok and then you're getting discouraged when your first 10 videos don't do well. Mm-hmm. Consistency, good content consistently is always going to win on almost any platform. It's just about figuring out how to deliver that content on TikTok. And it's about how you want to show up and the audience that is there. Because if you've built an audience on a different platform, in your head, you have an idea of what they want to see and how they want the content delivered. But it might be a similar target audience, but it's not the same people that are going to be on TikTok. So figuring out how you can deliver your message maybe just a little bit differently. And also it's a skill, right? Like we're not born. Some of us are going to be naturally better, have a naturally different like online, on-camera presence. But it's not like a skill that you have or you don't. Mm-hmm. I'm a big believer that you can practice creativity and that translates to TikTok as well. Like the more you show up and the more you are on the app and producing content and hitting post and getting feedback, the better you're gonna get at it.
So when you know this is not working, you said 10 videos and don't get frustrated after 10 if it's not working. Is it after 20 videos, 30 videos, and you've got like 100 views total? I mean, like you've got to get frustrated at some point.
Yeah, I think if you are consistently producing like a video a day, or let's say—
A video a day?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, all right.
But it's low stakes, right? Like you don't have to do a highly produced video on TikTok. That's what's kind of cool about it.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to sit here and have a whole studio to record in for TikTok. Like you can record the nice high quality videos, but you can also just record like on your way home in the car. If you think of a thought when you're driving home, you can record it and post it.
Okay, so this is my problem then. All right, so I think I told you this before, but I want to do an FAQ type of Reel or TikTok or YouTube Shorts. And I had 13 FAQs listed out and things like, how much does it cost to work with Earfluence? And how long should my podcast episodes be?
Yeah.
What does an engagement look like? What should my goals be for the podcast? Just FAQs, typical FAQs. And I had an hour blocked for this. I had a camera set up, ready to go.
Yeah.
And I got four done in an hour. And I think it was just too much pressure on myself for that. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, I don't have to have everything perfect. I can just do the videos. So is that what you're saying? Where it doesn't have to be great every time.
Yeah, I think that there's two sides here, right? Like if you're doing it for Earfluence and if you're a business owner who is trying to just create content for your brand, there's also an opportunity of like, this is too much stress and pressure for me and time consuming. That's what I want to outsource. So I think there's that side of it. But if you're creating content for your personal brand or something that you are dedicated to being the person in the content, yeah, just lower the stakes. Like give yourself, if I were you in your shoes, I would give myself 30 minutes a day. I'd record a video. Once the 30 minutes is up, no more retakes, like no more editing.
Okay.
Like I would set a deadline to try and lower like that pressure and that stakes that you can't spend all night like editing this because it's going to get frustrating. If you spend 2 hours on a video and it gets like 100 views. That's going to be frustrating.
Yes.
So I would lower the stakes a bit, to be honest, just to get in the habit of creating content on there and mm-hmm. seeing what resonates with the audience. I also think exploring, like, again, looking up what other people are doing. That's like the age old $0 marketing strategy, right? Like, I'm not a fan of copying what other people in your industry are doing, it, right? Because you're always going to be a step behind them. And like, the audience is going to see that. But if you don't know where to start, look at what other people have done successfully, right? Like, go and look through what the like number one podcast tips TikTok is doing and look at how long their videos are, what kind of hooks they're using, what kind of topics they're covering, what kind of questions are in their comment section, what kind of hashtags they're using, how long are their captions? Because those are all like the little technical details that I think new people, it's not going to make or break your content, but it's going to help and you can learn it really easily. But just figuring out what other people have done.
It's really smart. So with YouTube Shorts, with TikTok, with Reels, can you use the same video for everything? Does it have to be different? Like, what are the differences?
Yeah, for the most part, I think, yes. I think when you're talking about bigger brands that have the budgets to maybe produce differently and longer form for YouTube, Shorts are still going to do well on YouTube, but also complement it with longer form content or do mm-hmm. something more polished on Instagram. I think the biggest difference that I see is on Instagram versus TikTok. You absolutely can use the same content. I think that the more polished, like aesthetic content has traditionally still done better on Instagram.
Okay.
Than like TikTok, which has a culture of more just like open and honest conversation, more authenticity, less editing. Mm-hmm. There's content that performs really well on TikTok that people have like said things accidentally twice and just never deleted it in the recording. And it still does well because people are there for just the raw conversation, I think more so. So short answer, yes, you can repost the same things. It's a great way to get started. I don't want to overcomplicate it for people who are new to creating content and new to short form video. I think once you get past like, okay, this is working, how can I diversify the content on my platforms? It's a good thing to think about because A, maybe you want your TikTok audience to follow you on Instagram, but if you're posting the exact same videos, why would they? Maybe they would follow you just for your story content. But I think it's important and something that you always have to think about, like, okay, if I'm producing the same amount of content, people just aren't going to follow me on multiple platforms potentially. And maybe that's fine. Like maybe you're trying to create two unique audiences, but maybe you would like to leverage both.
Yeah.
So it's just a thing to think about as you're kind of scaling your content.
Okay. And I've heard some concerns from clients and friends and whoever that you have to be a little bit more controversial on TikTok. Is that true? Does that not matter? Are we as people older than you overthinking this?
I do think people are overthinking it just a little bit. Controversy creates engagement. Engagement creates virality. So there's always going to be controversial content and a lot of viral content that's controversial just because naturally when people feel strongly about something they see a video on, they're going to go to the comment section, they're going to leave comments, they're going to engage with other comments, and they're going to create like this conversation. And that can help if you are trying to just purely get reach or you're trying to go viral and that's your shtick. But I don't think that controversy creates a loyal community. So there's sort of two sides of this, right? Like, you want to stand for something and create a community. And to create a community, that's not the entire world. Like you have to have a niche, a target audience. There are going to be people who disagree with you, right? It's like you stand for something or you stand for nothing kind mm-hmm. of thing. But I don't think you have to sit there and create every video that's like this big controversy because A, that's not natural for most people, right? Like if we're sitting down and having a conversation, I may say something that's a little controversial or you might, and it's like a little bit of a hot take, but we're not naturally just sitting here. And I'm like, right. Well, I think this, or like, yeah. Well, actually hot take. That's like not a natural way of conversing.
Completely disagree with you on that one, Sam.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think that having a strong opinion has always done well in media, right? Yeah. Like people get on here and if they're absolute about something, like the internet rewards black and white thinking sometimes and like just very strong statements. But I think that when you actually come down to building a community around yourself or your product, it's a little bit more nuanced than that.
Mm. So smart. You have 50,000, almost 50,000 TikTok followers.
Yes.
What's been your secret to success?
Consistency. Okay. Yeah, honestly, like I've had several viral, like super viral videos of like a million and a half plus.
Jeez.
But like I've built an audience based on shared values. So like I've talked a lot over the, and my content's changed. I think context is helpful, right? When I first got on TikTok, I posted small business tips. And my entire goal was to help people, like small business owners who had just started, their first time business owners, be able to get to like $100 or like a couple hundred dollars a month in sales to like several thousand dollars consistently through marketing. So I'd share social media tips. I would share some about other areas of starting a business, so like tools that were helpful. One day someone asked about my full-time job at the time, which was product management. And I started talking about my career. And I remember there was one viral video that kind of jump-started that a little bit where I talked about being a first gen. So like I was raised by a single mom, blue collar family. And a lot of people who were producing career content and business content on TikTok weren't. And people couldn't relate to other people, to like these other people. So it gave, I think, a side of the community online, someone to relate to. So that really kickstarted about a year and a half ago, my journey on TikTok. And since then, I've like changed careers back to marketing. I had done marketing consistently, but changed it back to my full-time job. And now I'm a full-time entrepreneur and business owner. So people will consistently follow you and I think show up for you if you're showing up authentically for them and like contributing. I fully believe it's a conversation. It's not me every day getting on there with a microphone and like preaching to them. It's me sharing what's going on in my life, what I'm learning, what maybe I would have done differently previously, and like how my experiences are as like a first gen or like as someone who's now a first time, like full-time entrepreneur. I think that your perspective and the thing that makes you unique is going to help fuel your content.
Yeah. And you're posting every single day.
Yeah. I fluctuate my personal strategy. I, for a while, felt really pressured to create more aesthetic, well-edited, well-transitioned videos because I can do that, mm-hmm. right? And sometimes brands like to see that. And when I was pitching a lot more, but I find for me, my system that works best is really natural, me and the camera answering a question, or the same thing I would send to my best friend on a voice memo is what I post on TikTok. So I'll post anywhere from generally 3 to like, I think I posted 10 times yesterday.
10 times?
Yeah, because naturally it just came up. Like I was having a conversation with my community. And I think that when you look at bigger creators, much bigger than I am, they do one or the other. Like they either naturally really like this aesthetic transition. Like that's what they enjoy. They enjoy editing it. Or there's creators who, because like at the end of the day, my personal TikTok is a creative outlet first. I make money off of sponsorships and obviously get leads from it. But I enjoy the relationships with the people I've built on TikTok first and foremost. So I need to show up how I can consistently show up myself. And for me, that is spur of the moment. I make sure I dedicate time. And there's somewhat of a strategy behind it generally because I've gone to a strategist. I got to have something in there. But yeah, I just enjoy that. Truly, yeah. I enjoy making that type of content because it resonates well with people. It's approachable. Like I have 6 years in marketing. But like when I was talking about career, I was not a career expert, right? Like I was not writing resumes for the last 20 years of my life. So like, what do I have to share? I have my perspective and I have what I've learned. But like, I'm not someone who can sit up there and like dress up in a suit and like do all that way. My shtick is being who I am and like being this messy girl who like wears pink literally all the time. Like every single day I'm wearing something pink and like that consistency in my personality, loving Taylor Swift, drinking like the same kind of coffee every single day for the last like 5 years. Like that's just who I am. Like going and like hanging out with my mom and being like, this like little mom's girl and like my dog, like all these things are just so me, and showing up in my content with that has like, that's what's worked for me and what's made it enjoyable. And if you don't enjoy it, you're not going to do it consistently. Right.
Yeah.
Like something like content. It's hard to show up every single day or even every week. And so it's for me, like I have to enjoy it. There's people who, not to say I don't have discipline, but I think who could sit there and do it and do it well if they just are doing very strategic, very like scripted content every single day. I just don't. For me personally, I've done it for brands and it again works well for certain types of brands, but it just personally, like I want to be real. Yeah. Like I'm the girl in the friend group who like doesn't want small talk and like wants to hear like, okay, can we talk about like anything like real about what's going on? Like, how are you really? So that has to translate to content for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, and that's, you said the word shtick, but if you're yourself, that's not a shtick at all. That's just being you.
Yeah, maybe wrong use of that word. But
No, it's great. What about brands? I mean, any brands that you feel like are doing a great job with TikTok that you want to show our audience like, hey, this is a good brand to emulate?
Yeah, I think there's, everyone always says like Duolingo, right? Oh. So that's a very popular example of someone who's gone out and killed it. And they were really the first in the game of like when TikTok was new and brands weren't trusting to invest in it. Duolingo was like killing it.
What are they doing? Like, I don't even know.
Yeah. So they have a mascot and they were just super sassy. So like they were the first brand that on TikTok, you always had to be like brand safe, right? Like you couldn't say anything controversial. You couldn't stand up for anything or have an opinion. And like, they were just like talking about being Swifties and like random like stuff online, or they would make fun of and they would make like sarcastic comments and like content around like people who like miss their Duolingo streak and stuff. And so they made it in like a very funny, more Gen Z way. And it just absolutely took off because people thought it was funny. And a lot of people like had used Duolingo at least once in the past, or maybe that's my bias. They absolutely killed it. I think that everyone then wanted to become Duolingo. So now like that type of content is like what everyone's trying to do. And it's not always feasible for everyone. Like not everyone's naturally just like funny and witty and sarcastic. And that doesn't work for every brand. I think there's smaller brands who are doing a really good job. A friend of mine runs the Biteable account. It's Biteable. And if you're a tech startup, I think they do a really good job of creating just like good content. And it's not necessarily like anything that's crazy, sarcastic or sassy. It's just like good TikTok content that I always recommend their account to people in the tech space. Other people, I don't know how to say his last name, Chimasuno. He has blown up as a mentor on TikTok. Hmm. So as like someone who's in his, I think, mid to late 40s and creating career content and like trying to mentor now like over 1 million people on TikTok. And he creates daily vlogs that are of a very specific style. So he's a great example of someone who does, I don't want to say the opposite of me, but he has like a very specific thing he does every single day. It's edited very well. It has like great voiceovers. He has consistent things he does in every vlog, and that works wonderful for him. I could never do that. And so I think that if you're trying to grow a personal brand, looking at how people show up differently in the space is really important.
Well, Sam, this has been awesome. What did I not ask you about TikTok, about social media marketing that you had hoped I would ask?
One thing that's been on my mind is like, where is the future of content going with like AI advancements and like as things become more automated and easier and more people get in the game, like, will all this disappear? Like, if suddenly, like, everyone is posting on TikTok, does that audience shrink then? Like, is there less opportunity? Everyone knows, and maybe not everyone, like, creating and building an audience on TikTok was super easy in, like, 2020. I joined in, like, early 2021. And it's a little bit harder now because as more creators enter a platform and a space, there's, like, more people to follow. So there's not just like one person talking about career. There's not one person talking about marketing. But I think that there's a really unique opportunity that's happening for these like micro and nano influencers. So people with smaller audience sizes, where they're really building communities of people who are more and more like them. Like they're able to really niche down in a way that like the internet hasn't done necessarily before. So I think it's a really cool thing we're seeing with as more creators, people start creating content. I think that like content is just going to continue to grow because like all of a sudden, even if you're creating content for like 100 or 1,000 people, like that's 1,000 people watching your videos. Like that's 1,000 people asking you if you're like creating fashion content, like where your blazer is from, or you're inspiring 1,000 people with like a fitness routine or any of these things. I think I don't ever want somebody to be discouraged. And I hear this so much with clients. Or people who have just started creating like, oh, I wish I created in 2020 or, oh, it's just so hard to grow nowadays. Yeah. The best time to start was probably in 2020 or 2021. The next best time to start is today, is yesterday, is tomorrow, is as soon as possible, like go and record and hit post and just start, please.
I feel like that's the same way in podcasting where it was easier to cultivate an audience back in 2016, 2018.
Yeah.
And you've got to be very niche now where if you're targeting a specific audience, you're going to have success and you're good at what you do. You're going to have that success. Mm-hmm. You know, same thing with what you were saying with TikTok. You're starting a podcast.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
Yeah. So I'm starting a podcast. It's called Save Nothing for Later. And it really came for the first time in my life, not just from inspiration from business, but from life as well. The best and worst decisions I've ever made are the times where I've taken advantage of an opportunity and really capitalized it. And the times where I truly fumbled the bag were times where I either took action. I think there's a quote about successful entrepreneurs are biased towards action. So they are the ones who aren't just saving it in their notes app for later. But I think in life as well, right? Like we see these nice vacations or these cool spots or the restaurant we want to go to and we hit the save button and that can get lost so easily. And I think that a lot of life's experiences and also business opportunities, I don't want to say it's only the first people who take advantage. Like there's a first mover's advantage to everything, but people who don't like postpone joy and like what they actually want, right? Like people who aren't sitting around and a couple of the guests I've interviewed so far, they're starting businesses in college. They're leaving corporate to go full on content in their early 20s. Like that wasn't heard of for a while. I think it was always like, okay, go through college and then you're an expert and then you can create content, or like go and save up and continue through corporate and then invest. I got that advice early in my career. When I started in I've had a couple different businesses, but I used to run a photo and video studio and I got advice from a great mentor. I mean, met so well, love him to death. He was like, focus on like product, like focus on your career first. Like that's where you're going to get the highest ROI. And if I had listened to that and done that and like saved all these passions and ideas for later, I would not be sitting here right now.
Yeah.
Like none of this would have happened. And like at the end of the day, yeah, business is not always like sunshine and rainbows, but I am so freaking lucky. Like I am able to sit here and help people start businesses, grow businesses every single day. Like I could not imagine if I was like 16 years old doing something better in my life, honestly. So like that wouldn't have happened if I had saved that for later, if I had not posted on TikTok when I did. Or like you can still post now. But like if I had saved all these things and followed traditional advice, that wouldn't have happened. Same thing in my life, right? Like especially for those of us who may struggle with like mental health, it can be really easy to be like, okay, well, I'll do that someday. Or even the stories of people who have waited their whole lives to start businesses or like take vacations with their families. And then they wake up one day and that career you wanted to leave and you didn't like that. You were like, oh, I'll stay there for a few more years. All of a sudden you wake up and you're like 50 and you're still in that career. You haven't done anything you liked. And so those stories always stuck with me like really strongly. And so this podcast, long story short, is this culmination of the ideas that don't postpone joy. Like don't postpone your dreams. Like you actually don't have to wait and quit your daydream at all. I think it's important to set a foundation for yourself, start projects while you still have the safety net of a full-time job. But I hope to encourage more people to take a leap and have faith in themselves.
I love it. One of my favorite artists is Billy Joel. He's got a song called Vienna, and it's talking about Vienna waits for you.
Mm-hmm, so
and
good.
It's like slow down because you know Vienna will be there later. And the more and more I get older, I'm like, no, I disagree, Billy Joel. Like Vienna does not wait for you. You never know how much time you have left, and you never know how much time you have with your kids. You never know how much time you have with anything, and do those things that you want to do now.
Love the song, but I agree. You never know, like. Tomorrow is never guaranteed. And like, you never know when the bus is coming, all those quotes. But like, even to get less dark, like you don't know if like in 10 years, especially I think for a lot of young people, like then you're gonna have kids and maybe.
Very true.
Or like, you're gonna have a family. And for me, like I wanted to do things for me now while I still like could and could prioritize myself selfishly.
Yeah.
So I think I don't ever want to discourage someone who does have kids and a family from like starting a business then. Again, I think the best time is now. But yeah, I think that so much advice used to be to wait and slow down and like save things for later and like do the typical now. But no, I love the stories of everyone just like taking a leap and doing something untraditional.
That's great. Well, Sam, I've loved this conversation.
Me too.
How can listeners and viewers connect with you?
Yeah. I'm redesigning our website, saturdaymedia.com, but you can go on and you can check out like an overview of the marketing that I do. Also on LinkedIn, Samantha Linger on there. You can find me on TikTok at Saturdays with Sam. But if you're looking for more of that like business content, the website and LinkedIn would be the best way.
Awesome. Well, that's Samantha Linger, and you can find her where she just mentioned it. We'll put that all in the show notes. Thank you for listening to the Earfluence podcast. For more information on full service podcast production, head on over to earfluence.com or follow us on all the social medias, maybe even TikTok, at Earfluence Media. I'm Jason Gillikin, and we'll see you next time on the Earfluence podcast.